read a few verses out of the book of Proverbs and look at a portion of scripture out of the book of Psalms here in a moment. Proverbs chapter number 3. Certainly we know Proverbs is known as a book of wisdom, written by the wise man Solomon, humanly speaking, and within it we find great tidbits of wisdom. I try to read through the book of Proverbs on a regular basis and glean wisdom. Certainly it speaks often of it. That's my thought tonight, is I want to look a little bit about biblical wisdom. Proverbs chapter number 3. Everybody there? All right. Three of you are there. Everybody's there? All righty. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 13 tells us, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding." Happiness, it's the same word translated many places in the Bible, to be joyful or to have godly joy. So true happiness comes from finding godly wisdom, or as a result of true godly wisdom. Real simply stated, that's where true joy and true happiness is based upon what God defines as wisdom. Let's go over to chapter number 8 of Proverbs for a moment. Proverbs chapter 8. Many that we could look at, I've just selected a few. Proverbs chapter 8, verse number 11. "For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it." Now, Solomon's the one writing this. We know he's very wealthy, tremendous amount of treasure and wealth in his kingdom, has everything the flesh could desire, whether it is riches or women or fame or power. You know much about Solomon. But he tells us in verse number 11 that true godly wisdom is better than rubies. And there's really nothing that someone would desire that could be compared to godly wisdom. Let's look over at chapter number 9 of Proverbs. Chapter 9, verse number 10, tells us, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." Fear there is not that dread. It is a reverence, a standing in awe, a recognizing God's sovereignty and greatness and who God is. Tells us that is the beginning point of what true wisdom is. Let's look at one more. Proverbs chapter 16. Verse number 16, he says, "How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver?" You folks understand that we live in a society that thinks happiness would be based upon the amount of silver and gold they would acquire. And I'm sure we would think that would make life easier, and it probably would on many levels if as far as needs and necessities go. But you understand silver and gold cannot buy salvation. Peter told us that. We're not redeemed with corruptible things. Job said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither." Certainly, we brought nothing into this world. Bible tells us having food and raiment to be content. He's simply saying it would be better for you to have godly wisdom and a relationship with God than have all of the world's riches. You remember Moses at 40 years old, the book of Hebrews told us that he chose rather to suffer the afflictions of God's people than to enjoy the riches of Egypt or the sin for a season. He had everything at his disposal and realized that all of those things were not as important as a relationship to God. Turn to Psalm 119. Let's look at some things here on wisdom. Psalm 119. This word wisdom or wise, the word knowledge, the word understanding, all come from the same Hebrew word that we get our word wisdom from. It occurs several times in this particular psalm and several times in this particular portion of Scripture. Psalm 119, penned by King David. Certainly its theme is the Word of God. It is in this chapter, we're told in verse number 11, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." We know that is a great verse. It is got Psalm, or verse 105 is, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Y'all are familiar with these. Look at verse number 97. Here's what David states about the Word of God. Verse 97, he says, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou through thy commandments has made me wiser." Circle that word wiser. "It has made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than the honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way." Certainly the emphasis is on the Word of God. David in this psalm tells us not only does he have a great desire for God's Word, he also states that he has a great relationship with God. And he says the two go hand in hand. Certainly this relationship with God is based on his hunger and his desire for the Word of God. He just states it real plainly, real bluntly in verse number 7. He makes a declaration. He says, "Oh, how I love thy law." Certainly, wouldn't it be great for somebody just to say, "Oh, how I love you," you know? And certainly this is what the declaration is. He's making a declaration of love. And the law is the Word of God and the judgments and the testimony, the precepts. This word love here is a word used for love and affection, a desire to be with, a desire to talk to, a desire to listen to, a desire to have a relationship with. Truly, that is love. That is a relationship. When you lose those things, affection and love and a desire to talk and listen and spend quality time together, we know the relationship is going down. But he makes a statement. His love was strong. And he says, "Oh, I love thy word." We know God loves us. The question has never been about God loving us. We know that he loves us with an everlasting love. His love is never in question. It is our love back to him. We should love him. We know love is active. It is on God's part. God so loved the world that he gave. We know that love is obedient. If you love me, keep my commandments, he says. We've got many things like that that define it. But David makes a statement here about loving God. We know in the book of Revelation that there were many who had left their first love. Love had grown cold. Certainly relationships suffer when something steals your love or your affection for the one you love. Setting our affections on things above, the Bible tells us. But when we come down here to verse number 98, where I want to focus in on tonight, I was pondering this thing on wisdom. And he talked about through this relationship with God, this salvation, this being born again, and also this desire to love and affectionately have a relationship with the Word of God. He said it produced something in him. Verse number 98 said it made him wiser than his enemies. If I ask you tonight, who was the true enemy of the child of God? Who would be our true archenemy? Is he cunning? Is he? Is he clever? Is he crafty? Y'all understand that. We're no match for him on our own. Amen. He wants you to do battle in your flesh. He wants you to do battle in your own mind and your own knowledge and your own willpower. But we're told to submit ourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from us. You understand it is through the armor of God and taking the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit and all of those things that emphasize the Word of God that truly make us wiser when we're in that relationship. The mind of Christ, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He says that we can be wiser than our enemies, because God is wiser than our enemies. And everybody said, amen. And we receive our instruction from the Word of God. So we know wisdom comes from God's Word. We see that in verse number 98. He gives us the key there. He says, through thy commandments. This understanding what the Word of God said and what the Word of God taught and what the beliefs of the Word of God, he said, I'm wiser. It's made me wiser, not on my own ability, but because of the Spirit of God within me. Wisdom comes from God. Many places in the Bible we're told that. Book of James chapter 1 verse number 5 says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth liberally. 1 Corinthians 1:30 tells us that Christ is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification. There's a list of things there. But God will make you wise. I thought about this thing of God making us wise. You understand, you may not have a, as we used to say back in Oklahoma, you may not have a whole lot of book learning. Huh? Maybe you don't have the greatest education or did as well as others in school. But you understand a relationship with God and studying the Word of God can make you wiser than many people that just have pure old-fashioned worldly knowledge. Wiser. God will give us wise counsel. You know what the best kind of counsel you can receive is? Godly counsel. I'll tell you what's hurt our society is we've listened to people that do not have any relationship with God. Psalm number 1, you remember what we learned in that psalm? That he would not sit in the counsel of the ungodly. We've allowed the ungodly, the unsaved, the unbeliever to instruct us in areas of wisdom and knowledge concerning important things like why are we here and where did we come from? Wisdom. It'll give us wise counsel. But I tell you something else wisdom does when it makes us wise. It not only allows us to receive wise counsel and instruct us, it allows us, because he makes us wise, he allows us to give wise counsel to others. Godly counsel. Anybody ever come up and ask your advice on anything? You know, some people just got to be in everybody's stuff, you know. They just want to get in it, hear about it, and then give them some input. I'm cautious on it. I don't say a lot. I've had people tell me, you don't even act like you care. I'm concerned with what I say. Y'all understand what I say, I want it to be godly counsel. I don't want it to be my opinion. I don't want it to be my like or my dislike. I don't want it to be what I want, what I don't want, you know. I want it to be godly, you know. I've had every imaginable, I shared with somebody tonight, sometimes the most frightening words I hear are, Pastor, can I talk to you? And I don't know what's going to follow that. Some of them are good things and some of them are bad things, but I always get uncomfortable. You have a minute? Can I talk with you? It's never like, I've been thinking about paying the whole church's building program off. No, it's never anything like that. Ooh, it's usually something that the wisdom of Solomon can't straighten out. And I'm sitting there going, bee, 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 bee. Like rolling up on a 30-car wreck on the interstate. It's just a ball of flames and smoke, and you don't even know where to start, you know. I've been in those situations. But we want to give godly counsel, right counsel. Now, we know this. Not only does it make us wise, it gives us something else. It gives us understanding. This word understanding is found 3 times in the verses I read to you tonight. It's found in verse number 99. He says in verse number 99, I have more understanding than my teachers. Think about that. That's not talking about pride and arrogance. I'll promise you, these young people in here that by faith embrace biblical creation have more understanding than most teachers in the world. y'all with me? Those type of things. But he's simply saying there are great thinkers and intelligent people that are trying to explain away God and the miraculous. And simple reading the Word of God makes people wiser than those people that have pursued worldly knowledge and philosophy their whole life. I know some biblical teachers that you would be wiser than just simply because they've never understood simple biblical doctrines. So he says in verse number 99, I have more understanding than all my teachers. It says in verse 100, I understand more than the ancients. And these were the elderly, the seasoned thinkers, you know, the deep philosophers that sat around on Mars Hill in Acts 17 and tried to come up with some new thing to explain or to debate. And then he tells us where all of this understanding comes from in verse 104. He says, through thy precepts, I get what? Understanding. Wisdom and understanding. Now, the word understanding here is a great word. The strongest meaning of this word understanding is the word we get our word discernment from. Spiritual discernment. Remember, we read in the New Testament that the natural man receiveth not the things, the Spirit of God. Neither can he know them. They're foolishness unto him, because we know those things must be spiritually discerned. This word understanding means we now have a spiritual discernment where we can recognize truth and error, right and wrong, what is of God and what is not of God. So it means discernment. And along the lines of discernment, it means instruction. And in that thought of instructions, it means that because we have understanding and discernment, we've received that and now we can teach and instruct others. And that's truly when you're qualified to teach and instruct, when God's wisdom is within you. I'm very careful. This is what I do. And sometimes I don't tell you what I do. I don't know what to do. And if the Word of God doesn't give me something to tell you in that, I'm just giving you my opinion or my thought anyway. But he says he has understanding that comes through the Word of God. We live in a day where we need great discernment. Who is of God? What is of God? What is truth? What is error? What to do? When to do it? How to do it? I'm going to give you some keys tonight to wisdom and discernment. Ready for them? We've highlighted a couple of these before. I'm going to highlight some more and give you some keys to helping you in this area of wisdom and discernment. Key number one, meditating on the Word of God. Meditating on the Word of God. Look what he says in verse 97. He says, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation. How often? All the day. My meditation all the day. Look what he said in verse number 99. I have more understanding than all of my teachers, for thy testimonies are my what? Meditation. Get a life, David. All you do is sit around and think about the Word of God. Don't you have any fun? Meditation. All day long. And this great king, the word meditate, we found it in Joshua 1:8, probably its most famous place there where we're told if we meditate on the Word of God, we'll have good success. And this book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth. Y'all know that. I shall meditate on it day and night. Make my way prosperous. I shall have good success. The word meditate means to study, means to ponder, means to chew upon, means to speak to yourself. Here you've got permission to talk to yourself. Some of you are doing it without permission. I'm constantly asking my wife if she's talking to me, and she's not. She got me the other day at Walmart, though. Me and her were walking along having a conversation, and then she stopped, and I kept going. Y'all ever do that? And then you're having a conversation with somebody that's not her, but you still see them right there. She was over talking with Tom's mom. We ran into Tom Donson's mother down there. And I was talking with somebody else over by the Christmas trees, and they were clueless. Anyway, Word of God must be in our heart, must be in our mind, must be in our mouth. It literally means if we meditate on it, it will give us instruction. It will make us wiser, give us discernment. Remember our word? Give us discernment. We make decisions, big decisions, all the time without ever truly meditating and praying and seeking God. And why to get in the Word? I think if we meditate on God's Word, number one, it'll help us make right choices. We talked about choices this morning in Sunday school. Brother Gary did. I don't know if you've ever made a bad choice. I'm sure there's nobody in here that's ever made a bad choice, have they? Brother Jim Henry's the only one ever made a bad one, and everybody else has. He claimed it, though. I'm not singling him out. He raised his head. He raised it again. He's made two now. So, five? You made five? Well, wait a minute if you want to keep counting.
I must have been the second one.
Roy just said 55 when he was talking about Jim. I don't know where that came from. Bad choices. Meditating on the Word of God, I guarantee you, will help you make right choices. It will lead you in paths of righteousness. I believe it'll direct our path. The Word of God has promised to do that in verse 105. I think it will give us right counsel. I'm glad we have people we can go to and talk to. And I'm not discouraging you from doing that. And some people are better listeners than others, and some are better counselors than others. But all I'm telling you is you would be better off to sit with somebody that would give you true biblical counsel, as opposed to just being somebody that just, you know. There's been many times I've had to tell people what I thought they needed to hear, far opposed to what I knew they wanted to hear. I've had people just live in an open sin and come and tell me all about it, thinking I was going to endorse it. Right counsel. It'll instruct us in right relationships. You study the Word of God, it'll lay out what a right relationship is all about. Amen. I got a list of these things. I won't bore you with them. I think we ought to meditate. I think wisdom, discernment, understanding would come to us better if we spent some time praying, reading, meditating on the things of God. Second key, not only meditating on the Word of God, I think we go from meditating to obeying. Look what he says in verse number 100. I quoted the first part of that verse a minute ago. I understand more than the ancients. That sounds pretty good. But why is that? Well, the latter part says, because I keep thy precepts. It's a word for obedience. It's a word for living as the Word of God outlines. God's instruction and discernment comes quicker to those who are walking rightly with God. Let me throw it out this way. A life of open rebellion and sin and disobedience will never lead you in paths of righteousness, wisdom, and understanding. Those things aren't going to increase your understanding with God. Now, you may come out of that and understand some things about chastisement and some things like that. But if your life is obedient to God's Word, He will lead you in right choices and right relationships. I do know disobedience clouds our discernment. What I've learned about people, I've seen it in my own life, but what I've learned about people is the further they drift away from God, house of God, the Word of God, and the things of God, the more clouded their discernment becomes. You begin to hear them justify wrong behavior. You begin to hear them justify, you know, all of these things, and a lot of times they blame and they crit, because it begins to cloud our discernment. Well, where are we at? Number three, here's something that'll help you with wisdom. Look what he said in verse number 104. He says, through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Number three is you've got to hate every false way. You folks think it's okay to hate the things God hates? Yeah. Proverbs chapter 6 listed a bunch of things God hates, seven of them. Book of Revelation, he said profound things like, I hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans. All I thought of when I was younger were the Nickelodeons. That's where they poured that purple stuff on your head and all that stuff, that goo. Wasn't that Nickelodeon? Am I off on that? I'm too old to be making that reference, aren't I? I need to be making a Captain Kangaroo reference. Remember that moose would always pull that string and those ping pong balls would come down and hit him? Anybody else grow up Captain Kangaroo? All right, there you go. So if I ask you about Mr. Green Jeans, y'all would be in here, right? Why'd they call him that? Oh, he wore green jeans, that's it.
We had black and white TV, I don't know.
Where am I at in my preaching here? Hating every false way. It basically, you could throw a list in there. You wanted just not to throw a list, and just wanted to throw a big blanket out or a big net, you'd say those things that are contrary to the Word of God. You could itemize, say every lie. You could say every false teaching, every worldly thought, every worldly philosophy, every worldly opinion, these things that cloud us all day long. What's our protection about those things? We're living in confusing times. I read an article on three different news feeds because I wasn't sure I was understanding this story, and I don't know if I understand it enough to explain it to you tonight. I tried to explain it to my kids, but I was trying to make sense out of this school out in Lincoln, Nebraska, where they've taken gender out of the classrooms. And they're now, teachers are encouraged to refer to the kids as purple penguins. Has anybody heard this but me? Okay, I got a few hands up. Because it's no longer male and female. Although last time I read the book of Genesis, that's how God created them. And it says it was offending people for teachers to say things like, those of you that taught elementary kids, I know some of you had, all right, boys line up here and girls line up there. So it's less confusing just to refer to them as purple penguins. Y'all not read this article? It's bizarre. Can't use any, can't say them. You can't categorize anything. All right? Now, I didn't know, well, I'm trying to be gentle. I better not get on this. I didn't know all there was to know about biology and the birds and the bees and all those things. But I knew what line to get into at bathroom time. And if you'd have brought purple penguins into it, I'd been lost. It's bizarre. It was a whole, they're trying to implement this in the schools out there just to get rid of. Y'all with me? That's your intelligent people. I did well on that. I wanted to say some things, but I know y'all love me and y'all can handle it. That's old worldly philosophy and opinion. Now, I'd been blowing a gasket out there if my kid was in that school. It's okay to blow one over that, to voice an opinion. Because I'll promise you, the reason we're talking about purple penguins is because somebody's been squeaking and whining and crying about something, and nobody else is refuting it. They're just saying, we'll be tolerant of it. So anyway, purple penguins. You ought to go read that story. All the purple. Said if you needed to... Said in the article, if you needed to make a division, you would say, well, we'll divide up into those that like bicycles and those that like skateboards. Well, if everybody likes bicycles. What was the other one on the list? Was odd and even birthdays. I don't even know if I'd have known if mine was odd or even. But I'd have known what line to get in at bathroom time. Y'all with me? Where I come from, it had been horses or bicycles, but that's a different story. I hate that stuff. That's where we're headed. Well, number four, not only must you recognize it, number four, wisdom comes from refraining from it. It's not enough to recognize it, is it? Look at verse number 101. He says, I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. The word refrain there means to abstain, means to stop, it means to hold back, it means to prohibit, means to rule. We get our thought self-control from it. Well, everybody's doing it, so it must be okay. All right, you purple penguins, get ready. We're going to school. Y'all get in the car. I'd have been an oddball. I'd have been the only one that didn't have a purple penguin at school. I'd be like, no, that's minor little girl. Have we gotten to the place where we're the weird ones that stand out? Maybe we ought to all paint ourselves purple and waddle around. Have somebody throw fish at us. Because if they throw fish at us, we'll never learn to get fish on our own. Boy, I'm on a roll, aren't I? We'll just sit there and go. Line us up.
Well, I know why they put the color purple on there, but I don't know where they come up with penguin.
I was thinking Barney. I don't know. Grimace. We had Grimace at McDonald's. It was purple when we grew up. Didn't we? Lastly, here's the fifth thing you must do. You want wisdom? You want wisdom? You have to study, meditate. And have to meditate on the Word of God. Certainly, we know that. Obedience. Certainly recognizing what's evil, refraining to walk in it. And lastly, you're just going to have some resolve and remain committed to the Word of God. Look what he says here in verse number 102. He says, I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. I've not departed. Last times many will depart from the faith. They shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And I think you're going to see a great falling away that we read about in the book of 2 Thessalonians. But I will tell you, God will always have a remnant of people. They will not bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's golden image, will not hide when Goliath hits the scene, will not refuse to pray only to the king as Daniel did. He'll open his window up and pray. Always have a remnant of people that'll say we ought to obey God rather than man. Amen. Just a commitment to staying true to the Word of God. It'll make you wiser than the teachers, make you wiser than the ancients. Make you wiser than you truly are. I wish I could tell you how many times I've been sitting with somebody giving them a counsel and come out of there not with a sense of arrogance or pride, but come out of there going, wow, where'd that come from? That actually sounded pretty good. You know what it did? It's God speaking through you. Taking that wisdom and saying, stay close to the book and tell them what God would say on it. Let's stand.